This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, unfortunately, the first third of the show is all you're going to hear of Ben Eno this time, and we hope it won't be another 10 years. So you have to leave us, right?
I do. The mundane world is calling to me, literally.
Well, Ben, it was a lot of fun, so maybe we can get you on for a short segment of After the Paracast sometime in the future, something like that, but it was totally cool having you on the show.
Yeah, it was great being here. Hopefully it's not going to be another 10 years.
We'll see you in 2029. No, we will not. Thanks, Ben. I wanted to mention something to Paul Eno when we were talking about UFOs being living creatures. And there are two concepts I think about. One is from the late Trevor James Constable about giant amoebas or something. And then the concept in a TV sci-fi series called Farscape, where there was a race of beings who appeared to be spaceships. And you go in them, and you can fly them, you could set up crew quarters and everything. But the core thing is that the spaceship itself was alive. Paul?
Yeah, I think that there may be something to that. And I make an appointment not to watch a lot of these shows because people say, oh, you got your ideas from that. But in thinking back to the Roswell case, some of the eyewitnesses to some of the material found in the farmer's field there where the part of the crash or the crash occurred, compared the material to almost to like skin. Now, you don't want to go nuts with this either. I mean, nobody's saying, you know, all UFOs are you know, possibly living things. Maybe some. And I'm thinking of orbs. You know, orbs are ubiquitous in this, you know, in what are believed to be psychic photos and all this sort of thing. And we use our own terms to label things so that we can understand them, and it may bear no resemblance to the reality as such. So I think that many orbs very often I've seen them with the naked eye behaving in an intelligent manner, you know, flying around, changing colors, playing with each other seemingly, you know, they're sort of like, almost like kittens would do, you know, fly around. So when that does bespeak some sort of consciousness, if not intelligence. Now, the thing with the larger ones, again, we put labels on, you know, a UFO, an orb in the sky might be 30 feet above you. It might look like it's 30,000 feet and aha, a UFO. So I think we have to take it case by case and try to open the box a bit so we can, you know, our consciousness can kind of get out of that and embrace other ideas. So, but I think it's possible that these things, some of them anyway, could be creatures that live in the atmosphere that we don't really know a lot about. On the other hand, the particular sighting that we had, object that was, I think, in my opinion, was some sort of intersect point at which things come and go from these flap areas. I mean, you get Bigfoot that I saw myself, and Shane Searway did, living in this area, but it's not a wilderness area. You have areas of, you know, some woodlots and maybe 5-10 acres at most, farms, a lot of cleared fields, cornfields. And, you know, where would a large mammal of, you know, 8 feet tall and maybe 600 pounds, where would that hide? You know, maybe, but that's just my idea. And maybe there are ways that that could be accomplished, but could they be coming and going through these wormholes, as the physicists might say, or through these intersect points? I think that's something that should be considered.
Absolutely right about that, because there's a number of these places around the world where people report that these things happened. I know when, you know, back when I was in my teens, two buddies of mine and I swear we stepped through one of those things. And I don't think I've ever mentioned this before on the show, but I'm not even sure I'm from this universe.
Wow.
Like,
I'm impressed. Yeah.
And I know that sounds like way out there, tinfoil hat-ish, but I mean, I checked out your site. It's a fabulous resource. You know, by all means, you know, any of our listeners should check it out too, because you guys have been around a long time. And I think I can share that with you and know that you're not going to think that when I say that, that I'm like completely crazy.
Absolutely not. I mean, there have been many times I've suspected that we're moving through thousands of these portals. I don't know if that word is good enough, but thousands of membranes, as a physicist might say, you know, the electromagnetic boundaries between these various parallel worlds, you know, maybe thousands, maybe millions a day. And there are millions of versions of us, presumably, and a lot of physicists believe that. I think to take it to its spiritual and consciousness related conclusion, they would all be us. Perhaps all our subconscious is made up of lives we're living in parallel realities, some of which may be very, very different from what we're used to here. And laws of physics may be very different. So had this thing, if I'm right about what it was, descended to the ground, who knows where we would end up out there? Could be anywhere, you know, and a lot of people do disappear. There's been an increase in disappearances. You know, much has been made of that at national parks in all over North America. People are, you know, seem to be vanishing, and who knows where they go. Occasionally, in the annals of paranormal research, people disappear and reappear somewhere else or somewhere else. Very often, they just disappear. I mean, I talked to a group in England that was jogging. And the person who was leading the group tripped on something, fell over, and disappeared. Never seen again. You know, Yorkshire. And
wow.
I mean, you know, what's going on here? I think we're dealing more with a lot more with parallel realities than we are with dead people. I mean, the very first case, 1970 to 72, that I was involved with, you know, I saw no evidence whatsoever for dead people.
This is like an amazing thing that you just said, because there seems to be such a resistance when you get talking to like people like ghost hunters and so on. Well, it's got to be dead people. And it's so refreshing to hear someone like yourself say, well, look, maybe there's another more, it might seem out there, but like you say, the whole idea of parallel universes or living in a simulation is really taken seriously now by academics. And like I pointed our last guest to, I think it's the 2016 Isaac Asimov debate, and that was hosted by like arch skeptic Neil deGrasse Tyson, and had a lineup of physicists and philosophers with academic credentials that could not be questioned. And they took this question very seriously. So if you don't think we're talking serious here, folks, go check it out. We are. Things happen that can't just be explained in a simplistic manner.
No, it's very true. It's funny that we're usually invited to speak at UFO conferences, with a few exceptions, as a rule, because it's a lot easier for them to understand and accept some of these more, shall I use the word, progressive ideas about the paranormal than some of the ghost types. Now, there are some exceptions to that. There are some good minds in that field as well, but generally we're not good for business. So we don't. There's a major conference that takes place less than 10 miles from us. Right there, I know they all listen to the show because they're right in the listening area. But we're never invited to speak at it because, as I say, you know, it's funny. I was on the air with Jason Hawes, whom I really don't know. I mean, they contacted me in 03 from TAPS One, because they're right here in Rhode Island as well. Wanted to know if I wanted to get involved. I said, no, not really. You know, I mean, it's kind of different kettle, the different tree I'm barking up. And we were on the air once together, not on my show, on his. And I really liked him. I mean, I was impressed by his erudition. And I was impressed by how articulate he was. But I just got the impression that he considered me a threat. Maybe that's not fair. Maybe that's not true. But that's just the impression I got. Although he did say that there was a case, and I know that was on one of their shows, and they were on the air for, 10 years? That was in some hotel. And the quote unquote, the so-called ghost they were talking to was asking if they were from security. And he said, kind of with them, you know, we're always running into quote unquote ghosts who think we're ghosts haunting them because they see us across the membrane the same way we'd see them, you know, glowing or spooky or foggy or something. Not always, but very often. In one case in Connecticut, one of the ones who've been working on longer than Pennsylvania, it was one of Ben's first, starting in 2005 when he first joined me in these zany adventures. There were some people in the basement of the house at the heart, at least the one we started at in this triangle, who were apparently the great-grandparents of the woman who was then in her 60s, who had lived in the house. There had been six generations in this house, and they'd had an apartment in the basement.
Let's break here.
Yeah.
We'll continue that story with Paulino and more We have Gene and Randall and Paul. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Before we get back to that discussion you started.
I like him.
You like? I like Paul,
he
too.
Should be hired, he should be hiring us. I mean, out the budget. I did. Yeah.
Listen, the salary I get, believe me, you have the budget.
Okay. We do have a show staff that is paid, but just, you know,
well, that must be nice.
Yeah, well, as I said, we've been on the air for 12 years. It took a long time.
Yeah, but it's really cool. So anyway, look, I don't know if we're back. Are we back on the air here, Gene? Are you recording this?
Of course.
Okay, well, then we got to get back to this house. Okay, you were talking about the house.
Six generations of the same family had lived in this house, 1793 farmhouse in Connecticut. And we had to go down to the basement where the quote-unquote ghosts of the great-grandparents were nothing of the kind. And we had to convince them that the people upstairs were not ghosts haunting them. And that kind of... There are ways to communicate that have nothing to do with seances and Ouija boards or anything like that. That's all going to be laid out in my next book. It's coming out next month, in August of 2019.
Well, how did you do that exactly? I mean, that sounds really interesting. Because most people would be running the other way. Oh, my God. You know, there's ghosts up there. Like, you don't want to necessarily hang out with them and, like, make friends. You want to... You know, either study them or get a console the ghost.
We're the ones that need consoling at the time, but this is a house where they would sit in the living room and see legs hanging from the ceiling and walking as if on a road in some other world, you know. Things that don't even have names yet would appear at the windows and all of, that's what got us started on this whole, you know, looking outside. And sure enough, other houses in the area had problems and things like this, and there were UFOs, some of which we saw ourselves. Yeah, but how do you do this? I mean, Ben operates on a very different level. I hate to talk about him after he's left, but he operates on a very different level. I've always been the sort of a scholarly academic approach. My degree is in philosophy and a background in theology, but I studied a bunch of other stuff in graduate school. So, but I'm not usually the touchy-feely type who's going to, you know, communicate with ghosts. But that's not true. I hated writing it because I talk about things that I had never written before because I don't want people to think I'm a fruitcake. But you get to a certain age, you know, and you think if you don't tell the story, you're never going to tell it. So
that's the truth. And after a while, you know, the older you get, the less it matters, doesn't it?
Well, that's true. But how you do this, when Ben is with me, I let him do it because he's just extremely sensitive and he has conversations with trees and it's not because he's some big medium or psychic. It's because he's in touch with the multiverse. He's in touch with where he is. Not only where he is in many different worlds, but where he is others, including trees in many different worlds. That's as real as it gets, we believe. Okay. I'm not so good at that. On the other hand, in my case, when it comes to communicating, such as the things I have in the next book, you know, I would sit in a meditative state. And I started this when I was a seminary student, studying for the priesthood and helping out in a pastoral capacity at a psychiatric hospital in northern New York, St. Lawrence State Hospital, where I was also assisting the priest with exorcism. Very unusual for someone my age. So I sat in what was supposed to be sort of a makeshift chapel, and I would communicate inadvertently with whoever or whatever happened to be around. And if it was there were a lot of negative things going on in this place, a lot of parasitical activity or what some people might call demonic activity. That's not good enough, in my opinion. But that's how I would do it. I have done it very sparingly over the years, but many of the accounts are in the book, and I think a different approach. That's essentially how I do it. But Ben, when he's with me, will pretty much communicate, and I'll pick up on it too. As a matter of fact, what we do is to go through a certain house, and we'll see if we get the same impressions. He joined me on my theory that blood relatives. I wanted to know if they had the same sort of reactions to the stimuli that are present in these areas. Matter of fact, I didn't start with Ben. He was too young. I started with a second cousin who is a really great fellow. We saw him yesterday at the 4th at their lake house. We came to a particular library that was having some issues in Connecticut, and he got the same impressions I did. And I said, we might be onto something here. And when Ben got older, he was 13, his mom and I had a long talk about whether we should let him do this, but he was a natural. I have him by my side any time from the time he was 13 on to today. And he just has a different approach. He has a shamanic gift, although he'd never admit that. He was mentored by a real Aztec, full-blooded Aztec shaman from Mexico.
Wow. Okay. So this is really cool. So what you guys just went up to this room then, and Ben like sort of kind of made friends with them
through
some kind of meditation, or how did
Yeah, pretty much. He goes into these states, I suppose you could call a sort of a deep trance. For example, at Rendlesham Forest, the site of the famous 1980 sightings by the military, UFOs, we had a lot of listeners over there who hosted us for a lecture in the nearby village at a hotel. And we went out to the to visit Rendlesham Forest. Well, I went out several times, but at night, he didn't even get out of the parking lot before he collapsed in a heap. And dogs began howling up and down the road, including the dog that was with us.
Wow.
I said, don't touch him. You know, if you touch him, you know, and if you're a meat eater, you'll become nauseous, which is a funny thing, but it's one of those things. He doesn't remember being out, but he will remember what he hears in the midst of this. There were a group of monks who wanted him to come with them, which I'm kind of glad he didn't. I mean, who knows what that's about? We don't trust any of this. We'll get the impressions and we'll evaluate, but we don't trust it because very often you have to be very careful of parasitical entities who will push your button so they can eat. I found that out the hard way in that, I'm sure we talked about this on the show, the Bridgeport poltergeist case of 1974, when I was, you know, wet behind the ears and a seminary student working with Ed Lorraine Warren, and I was 21, and geez, this was... What a nightmare. And I learned the hard way. You don't become annoyed or anxious or fearful in the face of these things because they'll feed on it and get stronger. So in the same way, we did become convinced these were the great grandparents because their descriptions matched exactly what the woman of the house remembered when she knew them. She was extremely little. It sort of lined up. And the thing is just to reassure and convince that, you know, you can't really explain the multiverse necessarily to everybody you meet out there, but you can reassure and tell you develop a relationship between the people and the people. Okay, the two different people who may be in war to us at different times, and compassion and love, it really accomplishes a lot, and they get it sooner or later. But I don't like direct communication from something that's telling you what to do or says that it's a Genghis Khan or somebody. I mean, maybe it's true, but I have never really run into a situation where it's safe to even believe that. So you take it on a personal level, one step at a time, baby steps, as Ben would say. But when I do it, I try to avoid it, but it's too intimate an experience. I have trouble with it. But Ben is very good at it, and he doesn't do it very often either. We very often don't have to. So that's essentially what that was about. But that was back in, I think that was 2010 when that occurred. That was the same year we were able to get a rather amazing video of another kind. If people want to see that, they can go to the Behind the Paranormal with Paul and Benino Facebook page. The first video is this thing coming down out of a tree. Yeah.
We got exactly. This thing coming out of your speaker. No, not that quite. Didn't work out. That's bad, too. I have to stop this. Paul, Gene, and Randall, you're in the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on, so it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
After two major quakes, more aftershocks are expected in Southern California. The 7.1 quake was centered northeast of Los Angeles. Kern County was hit by a 6.4 quake on the 4th of July. In Los Angeles,
Mayor Eric Garcetti.
So far, no reports of any significant or catastrophic damage. We do have about 1,200 customers without power in the Sherman Oaks Valley Glen area, San Fernando Valley.
California's Governor Gavin Newsom is asking President Trump for federal help. Mark Ghilarducci is director of the Governor's Office of Emergency Services.
His priorities right now for medical support and for firefighting and for emergency power.
Seismologist Lucy Jones with Caltech and the Geological Survey says more aftershocks will happen.
This is an earthquake sequence. It will be ongoing.
This is USA Radio News.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Paul Eno ended the previous segment with the words, the thing that came down the tree, was it?
The thing that came out of the tree, you might
the
say.
The thing I'm that came busy. Out of the tree. This is not the thing from another world, by the way.
I don't know. Maybe it is. The little boy in the house was 4 years old. We had just been with a crew from New York. It was very cold, November of 2010. I can't remember the exact date. But the little boy in the house had said that his invisible friend, Ashwar, was in the tree outside because her people lived in trees. So the crew had gone back to New York. We were making a pilot because which never gets anywhere because the networks always come back and say you're too intelligent and you don't fight enough, meaning Ben and myself. Give me, I don't want any part of it if they want that. So I went out and I had a little IR camera and sure enough, I pointed it up into the tree. And at about 6 seconds in, you can see like this tadpole-like whitish thing, like coming down in the final frame. There's a flash and it disappears. And it was this Ashwar, his invisible friend, whom he said was a little girl. So regardless of what it was, we assumed that would be spelled A-S-H-W-A-R. In initial reports, we would spell it that way. Well, our intrepid friend Shane Searway, whom I just mentioned in regard to the Pennsylvania UFO sighting, happened to be doing some research, and he ran into A-C-H-U-A-R, which was an indigenous people in Central and South America who were the tree people. And who worship tree spirits and lived in trees, this sort of thing. And there are almost none left. But how would this little boy, 4-year-old boy in rural Connecticut, know anything about the Ashwar in Central and South America, let alone have a relationship with one? So, I mean, that's a question that's quite striking. And whatever it was of the tree, we got a photograph of something there.
In the infrared.
Yeah, yeah.
and gave off heat.
Well, presumably, yeah. It didn't have a red signature. Everything was white. You know, we happened to run into Gregory Harold from Florida, who had similar recordings that he'd obtained with his security camera in his backyard of creatures or whatever was like that, and also others that seemed to come down out of the sky and were he interpreted as aliens, this kind of thing. But, I mean, what do you mean by alien? Does it have to be somebody from another planet? Maybe it's somebody from another parallel reality, maybe occupying the same space or the same a different version of Earth or whatever. Everything is out there.
That's a really good point. You know, like most people, when they hear the word alien, they think, well, something ET, but you know, like I've been in ufology a long time and I define it as something from beyond the boundaries and the constructs of our civilization as we know it.
Concept.
Now, I wanted to bring up something that's been simmering here as you've talked, Paul. We had a guest on last week, Dr. Michael Masters, and his suggestion is that what we see are visitors from our future.
Okay, that I don't know, Dr. Masters, but we're going to. It's a lot of, you know, what did Einstein essentially prove in 1952 in his book Relativity? The essential, very clear point was that there is no past. There is no future. It's all simultaneous. As a matter of fact, I know several physicists who are working on time travel, and one of them has described it thus. You don't move back and forth in time. You move sideways. Now, isn't that an interesting way to put it? So I think that when we're dealing with any kind of alien, it could be a traveler from anywhere, anywhen. The ghosts, in this case, the great-grandparents, were somewhere around the 1920s or 30s, but it's simultaneous without that. We only experience it because of our consciousness, past or future. There really is no such objective thing. And the other point is, again, that there are many versions of ourselves, and there's a certain unity. As a matter of fact, I use a capital U when I talk about it in my books, the life, the biosphere, and of all things, so there is no such thing as an inanimate object. There can be no such thing as death, because how can there be when there are so many physical versions of you? And the term alien really was brought home to me in 1974 when I stood in front of one of those things in this bridge. Here I go with things again. Didn't come out of a tree this time. At the Bridgeport house in 1974, trying to protect this little girl, it was alien in the sense of being completely other. And it was not human. There was a certain sterility about it, but it was very much alive. I mean, and I've encountered those things. They're parasites in our parlance, and they are alien. The best words I can think of. We were approaching this like they were demons. We had a priest in there. I was working with Ed and Lorraine Warren, who would take their alleged theological approach to these things. Everything was demons.
Alleged theological approach. Yeah, you have a background in theology, too.
Yeah, so, I read in two seminaries and was thrown out of a third about a year before ordination because they didn't like my paranormal.
Well, yeah, it seems to me that it's all pretty much wrapped up. I mean, the whole mythology of religion is wrapped up in paranormal phenomena. It's like some people call the Bible the greatest paranormal UFO book ever written. So
yeah,
it's a matter of perspective, really.
It really goes beyond that, Randall, because, you know, it's funny. I guess as soon as I was about to graduate from the college level Roman Catholic seminary and go on to the theology at the graduate level, I left the Roman Catholic Church and joined the Eastern Orthodox Church. That never happened. People were flabbergasted. The bishop had a big investigation. They were very gracious, the faculty there. Not only had they been very tolerant of my paranormal work, they set up special courses for me in abnormal psychology, this sort of thing, for that purpose. And they maybe thought I'd be a diocesan exorcist someday. I don't know. But they were very gracious. I was allowed to graduate, and I went on to the Orthodox Graduate Seminary in New York City, St. Vladimir's, where I had a number of shocks, one of which was something I knew, but it really didn't click, that Orthodox parish priests are married. And, you know, your wife has a very important part in your ministry. And that just sort of, and I said, you know, I had gone into the Roman Catholic Seminary at the age of 14 when you could still do that. And I was still 14 emotionally. I never had a relationship. Here I was 23. That was fun. Anyway, that's not relevant to our discussion, but it was very different. And the theology was really rather interesting when it comes to the ideas of the multiverse. I studied Greek for the first time, and you could read the New Testament in what more or less the original language. We really don't know what the original text was because it's, you know, long been lost, and there were mistakes copying it here and there. But it was quite interesting from the multiversal point of view. The fact is, the Bible, when you read it in the original languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Mark was written in Aramaic, you've got the multiverses all over it. In the very first verse of Ephesians here, it was like Paul's writing, and through him, meaning Jesus, God created the worlds, plural. And the Greek word cosmos means world. It could also mean universe, says, but it's plural. That's just the beginning,
I mean, even in normal Bible, well, I guess I don't know. I haven't looked at one in a while, but last time I checked out the King James Testament, he was saying lest not man become as one of us, terms of, so as gods in the myth where we ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? Well, now that our eyes were suddenly open and we could tell the difference, I didn't want us to live forever, so they took that tree away. Otherwise we would have become like gods, like them, as plural.
Yeah. Except, well, the original word for God, Elohim, in Hebrew, means the shining ones, plural. Right,
plural again, yeah.
And as a matter of fact, I went to study Hebrew just so I could read that in the original, and that was an eye-opener, too. And Rabbi Silverman was one of my teachers at Providence, and he said, well, you know, I can't be sure about this. But, you know, the fact is that you've got a female root, Elihu, in that word, and a male plural ending. It's the only word in any Semitic language that's like that. I mean, what the hey is that about?
You know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And he just goes on and on and on.
We've got a pretty cool announcement for you. How is that one? All right. Not so good. Paul, Gene, and Randall, you're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutrifies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor, and The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS, and they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
I'll never live that one down. Paul, please continue.
Okay. Now, I have no idea what the breaks are. Anyway, if you look beyond Genesis to the other contemporary creation accounts in the Middle East at the time, I'm thinking primarily the Atrahasis of the Akkadian Empire, which most people never heard of it, but it was the first known empire, and then the Kossag epics of the Sumerians, you've got very similar accounts as you find in Genesis. And if you take away the religious imagery and the poetry and stuff, and you get down to it, you have in the Kossag epics Nin Kossag, who was the female equivalent, if a female compatriot of the Most High, it's actually called the Most High, he is, I guess. She takes blood and saliva from her own people and combines it with the natives, which presumably our remote ancestors, who were living in caves and eating grass and stuff, and makes this laboring race. And, you know, what are blood and saliva? They're primary DNA sources, you know? I mean, people say, oh, well, I'm not going to go have my DNA done. Well, if they can go in your garbage can and get a spoon and get your DNA, I mean, if anybody wants to. But it wasn't so easy back when these things were written thousands of years ago, presumably, or maybe it was. So you have a vast sort of agreement on that someone arrived, because it varies, it could be 8,000 to 100,000 or more years ago, and brought to some sort of technology. I mean, you really want to be conservative about it. You say it was maybe the Indo-Europeans, but not that far. So, you know, nobody really knows. But these are things that when you read in the original language, the multiverse is all over. How did they get here? The DNA, in order to blend the DNA, they must have been virtually identical to ours. Well,
that was one of Master's points for saying that they come from the future, because if they come from the future, then they would essentially be us and would be DNA matches.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But again, future meaning what? You're where? But I get that. You know, I think that's possibly true. Or if they were alien in any sense of not human and or even humanoid, you could have to have stunning technology for gene splitting.
Yeah, or they just created us in the first place.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
You know, I mean, maybe it's all true. You know, yeah, that all these this mythology, there's a lot, you know, we look at it and what we see is evolution. But who's to say that some advanced race could create evolution as well? and started off the way that they did and knew perfectly well that after, you know, so many hundreds, thousands of millions of years that what they started would end up the way that it was. And of course, with relativity, they could go traveling off through the stars like nomads, come back, and it would all be just here for them. So,
all goes back to your point that
creation and evolution don't have to be mutually exclusive.
That's right. Absolutely not. Well, the whole thing, you know, people often ask me about this. First of all, I get blamed for not, you know, embracing other people's religious beliefs because I figured I'm in the seminary. I must agree with them, which I agree really. I believe a lot of things I was taught in the seminary, but maybe in very different ways than I did then. So people don't like that. But they also are really kind of floored when we go back to your point, Randall, that the Bible is full of this stuff. And not only the Bible, but all contemporary documents and pretty much all scriptures. Look at the Mahabharata, the poem of India, Song of India. I mean, that's got, you know, flying machine. Matter of fact, we have a friend, one of Ben's classmates was a fellow whose family came from southern India, part of a very interesting Christian group, very small, but there were some tradition of Christianity in southern India that's very interesting. But be that as it may, he said, yeah, you know, we had a word for aircraft before there even were any aircraft, the Vimana, which came out of that poem. And to this day, the Indian Air Force, if you go to the weather, they'll refer, if you read it in Hindi, they'll refer, or Sanskrit, they'll refer to, you know, the various aircraft as Vimana, you know.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if you believe in synchronicity, but this is so cool because I mentioned this music video I made. Okay, so this was about, it's a lament for Mother Earth. And I just went through a lot of this stuff while I was trying to come up with clips. And I ended up creating a clip of actually, instead of, you know, your typical creation thing with the, you know, a male figure, it's a female Indian woman holding the earth in her hands out of Indian mythology. And here we are on the show. I had no idea we would be talking about this today. So I'm just blown away.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, you know, people think that, because, you know, Judaism and Christianity, at least the mainstream branches of it, are very patriarchal, very, very male-centered. However, a lot of people don't realize, and this is not generally publicized, but there was, but just as there was Karsag and Ninkarsag, you know, the male and female gods who are, you know, sort of at the same period as the creation we're talking about, there was Yahweh, and there was the Shekinah.
Oh, tell us more.
Yeah, well, so it was the female companion of Yahweh. And Yahweh is just the boiling, it's a made up word that sort of contained the four sacred letters of God's real secret name. I mean, what is all this about? Who needs all this stuff? But that's what it was. And you have also the Shekinah was the female equivalent here, who became, as the ages went on and theology developed, this became, in my opinion, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, you know, as in Father, Son, and, has very female characteristics. And that even came up in the Orthodox Seminary. They're a lot less fixated on the cervix compared with the Western Church, the Roman Catholics and the Protestants. And they like talk about this stuff. And, you know, they're very male-dominated, too. But at least they'll talk about this stuff, you know. So, but the Shekinah was in right in there, you know, the beginnings of the Jewish faith, and you still hear about her in the Kabbalah and stuff. But you know, this it really became the Holy Spirit sort of transmogrified into that. But oh yeah, the divine feminine was very present in ancient Judaism, and there was a lot of hints of it in early Christianity too.
Oh, yeah, it was all over the place back then. Like, the neo-pagan stuff is taken from, you know, some of the earliest, and, you know, the moon goddess nature herself.
Yeah, exactly. Was, you know, Mary.
Yeah, so that's really cool that we got talking about that today. Blows me away. But maybe we should get back to some of the UFOs and stuff that you were talking about too, because I've been into ufology for years and years as well, and it seems like, and this is something from listening to one of your shows, very good shows, by the way, it seems that this is all connected. Like, all of this phenomena has got a thread running through it that combines it in a way, and you guys seem to hit on that from time to time.
Oh, yeah, we agree with that completely. What happened was, you know, starting in really the mid to late 70s, you know, I would investigate a, you know, quote-unquote haunted house, okay? And there'd be something legitimate going on. But at one point, I can't remember just when, something said, go on outside, look around the yard. You know, and at one point I got talking to a neighbor, and the neighbor said, "Oh yeah, you know, you can't often do that because they'll either think you're a fruitcake, maybe not so much today, but in those days, you know, you kept this stuff close to the chest. But when you could talk to a neighbor, very often they would say, "Oh yeah," and there was a UFO sighting right over that house you're investigating, you know, with, you know, umpteen years ago or whatever. The more you looked at it, the more multiple, or today is known as crossover phenomena, you would see. I'm very often consulted by one or two of the people from MUFON, because they will run into abduction cases, okay, where all of a sudden the people are having poltergeist activity in their house, or quote-unquote demonic activity or whatever. They'll see, you know, great-grandpa who died, you know, 87 years ago, you know, after they have the UFO sighting. So, I mean, these are all things that said, well, maybe we're dealing with, that's where we came up with the term flap area, okay, or John Keel would have called it a window area, in referring to the Mothman cases of, you know, in the Ohio Valley in the 1960s, because a lot of people don't realize it wasn't just Mothman, which was a term the press gave to this creature. People were seeing flying and standing and scaring everybody with the red eyes and all that. But there were all kinds of UFO sightings. We were down there in 03, again, one of Ben's first expeditions, and we were interviewing witnesses and trying to get updates on, because, you know, these things never end. I mean, there's always something that continues, and if it's a flap area, it's most likely to remain one. So sure enough, there were still Mothman sightings that most people never heard about. And we talked to some of the original witnesses, and they had red eyes looking out from under their furniture, growling, footsteps on their roofs, UFOs. And several said that they or their parents had developed increased psychic abilities. Well, they weren't even interested in it before.
That's
one guy,
interesting.
Yeah, and one guy, Andy Colvin, he's written a few books, claims that he and his family were driving along, you know, merrily along one day, and there's Mothman in the road. And he all of a sudden, not Mothman, Andy, became a math whiz and developed all these artistic skills.
Okay. That's a nice way to develop extra skills. Paul, Gene, Randall, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, you know, I have to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.